ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Idalia losing steam as it moves over Georgia and the Carolinas, but the storm is still packing winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Mayor Brenda Bethune says South Carolina's Myrtle Beach should get ready.
The main thing for us is to encourage people to stay off of the beaches and out of the water. We still have a lot of tourists in the area, and for them, this is a sightseeing event, and that's not what this is.
Storm damage assessment still underway in Florida, where Idalia hit as a Category 3 hurricane.
We have over 1,000 personnel currently deployed, prepared to support not just Florida, but all of our states that are in the path as needed.
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. White House says Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin have exchanged letters as Russia tries to purchase more munitions from North Korea to use in its war in Ukraine. One of the reporters at a Kansas newspaper raided by authorities earlier this month has filed a federal lawsuit against the police chief that ordered that search. This is ABC News. The Biden administration approving a military transfer to Taiwan. The $80 million package approved under a program usually reserved for sovereign or independent states. More proof of rising COVID-19 cases.
The CDC no longer tracks daily COVID cases, so wastewater samples collected are the best indicator of COVID activity. In the San Francisco Bay Area, COVID's presence in wastewater is going up noticeably, which is in line with what doctors at hospitals say they're seeing. Dr. Marlene Wolf is a project director of the Wastewater Scan Project. She says numbers were super low over the summer, and now that's changing.
And now we have gone up into kind of what we would consider the middle level tier.
With a full booster shot probably not available for weeks, it's expected numbers will keep rising. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Drivers west of Toronto urged to keep their car windows closed after a truck carrying 5 million bees spilled its crates on the road. Andy Field, ABC News.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown Museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bach.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right, now, because we started with that opener, I have a very important question before I get to the other important question of the day. Would you buy an As Goes Wisconsin shirt that says, don't yuck my yum? 844-967-2789. I got a DM or a comment on social media. I think it was a couple of days ago. And so I was like, I'm just waiting for the opportunity to have a Don't Yuck My Yum t-shirt. And I was like, all right, we'll add it to the idea of the ideas for merch. But would you wear that shirt, Greg?
Only the important questions on Ask Us.
Only the important questions. I do have another question.
Yeah, but I would totally wear a Don't Yuck My Yum. I would wear a vast array of merchandise coming out of the As Goes Wisconsin.
We still have to make, what else is on our
Oplander
list? Oplander, Don't Yuck My Yum.
We've missed the ball on
Centennial, whatever. Yeah. Although I did pitch that idea to a couple people, and they're like, I don't know what that would mean. So I don't
well,
know.
That's why it says ask me about.
Yeah, that's true. What other ideas have we come up with? I had someone pitch a onesie in for my pending baby of having a onesie that says, shh, I'm listening to Ask Us Wisconsin as a onesie.
Oh, that's funny. That's
if
funny.
You have merch ideas, we would love to hear them. But also, if you would buy a Don't Yuck My Yum Ask Us Wisconsin t-shirt, should we add that to the list of things that we may launch our own merch store? What other things do we say a lot? I think I say I digress a fair amount. I don't know if that's like, I can't really coin that as mine.
I mean, it could still be your phrase. I mean, that's a phrase. It's, you know, we'll have to start writing things down, like what our catchphrases are. We need some catchphrases. Some sweet catchphrases.
Anyways, if you have opinions on that, we would love to hear them. 844-967-2789. Or if you're listening to this as a podcast, which you can always do at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple. You know Stitcher's ending?
What?
I keep getting ads on some of my podcasts saying that Stitcher's closing its doors.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly, because, I mean, there's so many places to get podcasts.
Yeah. But also shoot us an email. At asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. All right. Next real question. The era of the 9-to-5 workday may be over. Is that a bad thing? I say no. But this obviously only applies to people who work in offices, like people who are nurses, people who are teachers, even people who work in offices but need the equipment that, like, is at the office. Like if you are working on hardware at Apple, or if you are, you know, I guess software you can do from anywhere, but like if you are actually building something, But for the jobs, for so many of the jobs that now all you need is an internet connection, is the necessity of being in the office from 9 to 5, that ending, is that such a bad thing? I say no. What say you, Greg?
I think you have to evolve. Some places may need to have that for the reason, but no, like it infuriates me how many businesses were just arbitrarily saying, time to come back to the office. Well, why? I'm doing the work I'm doing from home. I can get it done in less time. So how about a 4-day work week? Get Friday or Monday off, or I pick a day, but I'm still getting the work done. Let's evolve this standard. Let's evolve this idea. This 9 to 5 must do, 2 weeks of vacation. No, it's not. It doesn't work.
Well,
for
this,
everyone.
This is different than, at least where I'm going with this, is different than working from home. So this is talking about workers are returning to the office, but the 9 to 5 straitjacket might be gone.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they may be coming to the office, but they're not just necessarily staying for 8 hours anymore. So this is from Washington Post that I found this this story. But they said, as more companies tell American workers to return to their cubicles for 2, 3, or even 4 days a week, part of the new wave of even tougher return to office mandates kicking in this fall, one thing is clear. The era of sitting at your desk from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is over. Instead, in a transformative shift to the workday, employees are cashing in on an unspoken new flexibility. They are returning to the office on their own terms, coming in late after a workout or leaving early to grab groceries or pick up their children before logging back on. So they are logging back on, but they're doing that part from home. And so how do we know that people are doing this? In most of the country, only about half of office visits now last for more than at least 6 hours at a time, according to Wi-Fi data from Basking, which I'd never heard of that company before. It's a workplace occupancy analytics firm. Who knew? There's something for everything. So most majority of visits pre-pandemic, 84% lasted 6 hours or more. So there's a ton of people who are they're going back to the office, but they're just not staying. And I kind of keep coming back to, if you get your work done, is that such a bad thing?
No, it's not. I used to work for a company that they were very generous with their time off, with their vacation, but they also said, hey, you know, we don't want you to take a day off of work to do chores, to go to the doctor, if you need to take off early, take a half day, that's fine. You know what you do in the pay period? Make up those 4 hours. So you had a flexibility.
Was it an hourly wage job or was it was salary?
It was still salary, but you had to clock in, essentially let them know when you got in, let them know when you left. And just kind of just gave, they trusted you. And nobody abused this because we didn't want to lose it either. And I think, you know, I do think that the 9 to 5 work, for one thing, the 9 to 5 work week or work day is ridiculous. I mean, come on.
But what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, how many places really, like, unless you're like clocking in and clocking out, you know, the old adage on Office Space, I say in a work week, I get done about 20 minutes of actual work done. You know what I mean? Like, we're not working 9 to 5. We're probably working 10 to 3. And the rest of the time,
playing solitaire?
Solitaire meetings, quote unquote meetings, where it's like, we're not really meeting. We're just hanging out.
Well, and that's another question of, because when you're a shift worker who has to be at the, so if you work in a restaurant and there has to be enough people at the restaurant to make the restaurant run or the fast food place run or the retail shop, like there is, you are paying for someone's time to literally be there. But in office work, are you paying for their time or are you paying for their output? And I don't know if that's always clear. Like, I don't know if that's made clear. Like, I think about this all the time. We've yet to talk about this topic, but this was back in May there was an Axios article talking about the silent killer being toxic ambiguity at the workplace.
Whoa.
Where part of really inefficient work environments is when you don't know what your job is. You're like, I don't know what I'm being measured on. I don't know what my job expectations are. And like, so that's kind of a different topic. But I think about that too, is like, what are you getting paid for? Are you getting paid for your time when it's an office job?
Yeah.
Are you getting paid for your time, which is the expectation is you're working 40 hours a week, or are you getting paid for your performance? And if you work in marketing, like your campaigns are out on time and your analytics are accurate and the reports that you have to run. If you're a salesperson, you're hitting your quota, you're hitting your meeting numbers. If you are a radio host, you get to work and you actually do a show every day.
Well, and I think the jobs that you're talking about right there, those are jobs, and my wife works in banking, and I can tell you this right now, those are jobs that go far and beyond the 9-to-5 standard. Most people who work in those kinds of jobs are working late night, early weekends, taking their laptop with them on vacation. You know, I don't want to say there's an expectation. Well, there is an expectation, which I personally don't like. I feel like sometimes you just need to shut off. But a lot of people in those jobs don't know how to. They've worked their entire life to get where they want to be. So, yeah, if you say, like, this job's going to require you to work 60, 70 hours a week beyond that 9-to-5, most people are in those situations are going to be like, yeah, that's what I expected to do. That's, yeah.
Yeah. But, again, so that feels like you are paying for people's output. There's an expectation of what needs to get done in the job to do it well. So, and the expectation is that to do that well, it takes more than 40 hours a week. But I don't know if that's said explicitly.
I mean, I think to do it well, I don't know. I've never been in a job like that myself. I would probably end up burning out myself, like, because that's just not how. But then again, I also have 9-to-5 jobs, so you know. But I think that as far as like the 9-to-5 work week, that traditional thing, I don't know if it's gone because there's a lot of people who still do it. But I think it does need to evolve to a certain extent.
Well, what say you? 844-967-2789. Is the 9-to-5 dead? And is that a bad thing? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will take your calls and your texts on the topic when we come back. And also, there is one company that seems to have figured this out where their employees are actually happy about their return to work plan. And it may surprise you who it is and what they make. But we will go over what that what they are doing and see if that seems like something that would work for people when we come back. But this is As Goes Wisconsin, looking to take your calls and texts on, is the 9-to-5 over? And is that a bad thing?
Also, we got some texts.
Great. We'll read those when we come back.
Okay.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin.
Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM, Lake Air Emory.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 49. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 77. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 57. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 85. 91 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 59.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let me say one thing before I go back to the lines. Take a look at the law. Take a look at the law. Here's what the statute says. I'm reading, quote, the assembly may impeach an elected official by a majority vote on specific reasons, colon, corrupt conduct in office or for the commission of a crime or a misdemeanor. Period. That's it. Janet Protasiewicz has not committed any crime or any misdemeanor. Janet Protasiewicz has not engaged in corrupt conduct or any conduct. She's been on the court less than a month. So I got to say this to Josh Call, to the four majority justices, and frankly, I'd like to put Brian Hagedorn in there, the top five. Enough's enough. When a crooked, corrupt caucus, a Republican caucus, when Rat Dog McClownface, the speaker, says, I'm just going to wave a wand and say I'm going to impeach her. When he does that, when the statute says it can only be for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor or for corrupt conduct, and there is none, Rat Dog McClownface has to back off. And this has got to come from the four justices, I hope five justices, and Call. Enough's enough. We are not letting fascism creep in on little cat's feet in Wisconsin anymore. Go to the lines. Jack Amerimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, fascism in this particular Republican legislature is not on little cat's feet. It's clumping in on Clydesdale hooves. but this is more of the Republicans. They're just running scared spitless. Notice I made that appropriate for public radio. they're just afraid they're going to get voted out of office when the new maps come in and there's no more gerrymandering. And that will happen. It might not happen this next election, but I have high hopes. I really do sincerely hope that it will happen. But what's, you know, this whole thing, Ziegler is mad because she can't control the timing, the agenda of the court anymore. Voss is just crazy, scared that he's going to get kicked out of office because he almost didn't even survive a primary the last election. And it's about time these guys have some comeuppance. But well, I'm sure what, you know, when this happens and we will get new maps and they will be not gerrymandered. And when that happens, what I believe is going to happen is the Republicans will see a huge, huge backlash. A lot of people voting who now say, oh, my vote really does count. And as we both know, when everybody votes, Republicans lose.
Right. Excellent call, Jack, as always. And that before I go to the next caller, I want to reiterate what I just said. I need Josh Call and five of the justices, including Ryan Hagedorn, to say, no, you can't just impeach someone in a gerrymandered legislature, automatically yank their ticket, and then the Senate go to sleep for a couple of years so you can control the Supreme Court. We're not putting up with that anymore. And we have a legal basis. The legal basis says the statute, quote, the assembly may impeach an elected official by a majority vote for specific reasons, colon, corrupt conduct in office or the commission of a crime or misdemeanor, felony or misdemeanor. That's it. So when they simply try to yank her ticket and say you're on the sidelines, when that statute has not been satisfied, that is an illegitimate impeachment. And absolutely the attorney general and the majority in the Supreme Court can say that. They can say, we believe that you have the right to impeach, but it has to be for corrupt conduct or the commission of a crime or misdemeanor. You didn't do that. You're pulling a political fast one, yanking her ticket and sending her to the sidelines. She's not going to the sidelines. Not only that, she is going to participate in the decision that says that. It is time for once. We keep talking about Fannie Willis. We keep talking about Jack Smith. I'm tired of all this stuff. This is Wisconsin. Get rid of Voss. Get rid of the Republican Party as it's presently constituted in this state. We're going to the lines. Dan of Monona, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dan?
Well, I was just going through videos, and I always like your opinion, man. And it looks like Mitch McConnell had one of those freeze-ups again. And yeah. It looks like he's not doing well. And I just wonder, you know, between him and Feinstein, why don't they just step down instead of – they're not protecting their seats, are they? Because don't the governors pick someone to finish their term? I don't understand, I guess, why they keep –
Well, Dan, think about this. Both of those people are in the most exclusive club in the world. Everybody kisses their behind when they walk down the hall. Nobody wants to give that up. Feinstein, I think, should absolutely step down and let Gavin Newsom appoint a replacement. He said he'll appoint a black woman, a law professor who won't run again. Don't interfere with Schiff and Porter and all the rest of them. Easy. With Mitch McConnell, what he's afraid of is the governor of Kentucky is a Democrat named Andy Beshear. And they passed a statute that's unconstitutional saying he has to appoint a Republican. Andy Beshear said, I won't appoint a Republican. So there, listen, if Mitch were on life supports, they'd put a plug in his nose and breathe oxygen into him to keep him alive. Now, here's the deal. Mitch McConnell, as bad as he is, what do you want? You want somebody like... Ted Cruz is the majority leader. You want Scott of Florida? This guy, at least, is such a worm dog. He has been his entire life. You can sort of do business with him. So anyway, thanks for the call. We're coming to a break. The lines are open. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Idalia losing steam as it moves over Georgia and the Carolinas, but the storm is still packing winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Mayor Brenda Bethune says South Carolina's Myrtle Beach should get ready.
The main thing for us is to encourage people to stay off of the beaches and out of the water. We still have a lot of tourists in the area, and for them, this is a sightseeing event, and that's not what this is.
Storm damage assessment still underway in Florida, where Idalia hit as a Category 3 hurricane.
We have over 1,000 personnel currently deployed, prepared to support not just Florida, but all of our states that are in the path as needed.
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. White House says Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin have exchanged letters as Russia tries to purchase more munitions from North Korea to use in its war in Ukraine. One of the reporters at a Kansas newspaper raided by authorities earlier this month has filed a federal lawsuit against the police chief that ordered that search. This is ABC News.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council. For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Return to sender.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Miami. Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying here, but it's interesting that nobody on the Democratic side of the aisle is suggesting what that one Georgia representative is now suggesting, that violence might be the answer to prosecuting Donald Trump in the case of Jennifer DeSavage here in the state of Wisconsin. And maybe those two things are worlds apart, but I don't know our side suggesting violence as a response to what.
No, we rule that out. We rule violence out, Mark, obviously. But go ahead. Yeah, I mean, isn't the whole Republican Party. It's Trump and the guy from Georgia. There's a lot of responsible Republicans. Go ahead.
And Robin Voss is offering violence against the state of Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin's constitution, as far as I'm concerned, and that he should be called out for that because it's a violation of his oath to uphold the constitution of the state of Wisconsin in applying this stuff, not to play this political games. And that it's just, you know, par for the course for these guys. I think that, you know, power by any means necessary, and that and it has to be recognized as such. And
It might not be Clydesdale feet, but I certainly think it's not little cat's feet, but polished up jack boots and come stepping in to take over the state of Wisconsin, because that's it is fascism. And that it's interesting, right, that I was reading the Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention this morning. For some reason, it opened up to a page that talked about Madison actually suggested that suppression of, and he didn't say it in these terms, but he was saying that suppression of voting rights is actually, you know, an aristocracy and oligarchy trying to take over. And that's right. What we see here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's excellent. You're absolutely right with those comments. And I want to build on that and remember, and then I'm going to take the next call, but remember something. This is a gerrymandered assembly. It is two seats short of a veto-proof majority, just two seats. In the Senate, they have a veto-proof majority, which is two-thirds. In the assembly, they only need a majority to impeach, and that means they can give, I think, 13 or 14 of them a pass, who can all, you know, cry crocodile tears and say, not me, not me, but they'll still have enough to pass it. And then they say, okay, that automatically you got to step down and you can't do anything, and we'll get around to the Senate in a couple of years so we can take the seat back. That's what they're saying. The correct legal response is the statute says the assembly may impeach an elected official by majority vote on specific reasons. The word specific is in the statute, colon. Corrupt conduct in office or for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor. Okay, Speaker, Mr. Illegitimate Speaker, has she committed a crime or misdemeanor? Why don't we look on CCAP? Well, it turns out she has not committed a crime or misdemeanor. All right, she's been in less than a month. What corrupt conduct can you point to? She's had no conduct. She hasn't sat on a case. She doesn't speak publicly. She had no conduct. What is her conduct? That your guy didn't win. Now, if they go ahead and impeach her, there are a lot of naysayers and the sky is falling, Chicken Little naysayers. They go, oh, well, she technically has stepped down. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. She will then have been, quote, impeached, end quote. Forget the illegitimacy of the impeacher for something not permitted by the statute. She committed no crime or misdemeanor. She is not engaged in corrupt conduct or any conduct. So she hasn't, they have not obeyed the statute. If you don't obey the statute, you are not able to do it. Who decides that? The federal courts aren't going to step in because this is a matter of state law. Josh Call, are you listening to me? And the four, and listen, Brian Hagedorn, you listen to me, the five of you, have got to say, and the Supreme Court justices will not hold a press conference, nor should they. But when there's a motion that she somehow, or a lawsuit that she stepped down because she's been, quote, impeached, end quote, under no statute, the response has to be, you haven't followed the statute. That's not an impeachment. That's a political desire. That's all it is. Josh Call can speak publicly. He has spoken publicly before on other kinds of issues like this. And he can say, I've looked at this, and they have not, they're threatening impeachment, but it is not in accordance with the statute. It is unlawful in Wisconsin. Even if it's a majority legislature, if they do something unlawfully, the Supreme Court can say no. And they should say no here. Wisco Paul, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Great show today. Now, Boss already tried to take my vote away once in the presidential election, and he had help from other Republicans, some of them on the election commission. A senator tried to do it, and nobody's been charged for anything, and this is what happens. These people are never going to go away until justice is done. They tried to steal our vote in 2020, and now they want to impeach a Supreme Court justice that was elected by over 10% of the votes. One of the reasons was because people were fed up with the gerrymandered districts, which also takes away my vote. Boss needs to be charged with the 2020 election and the fake electors today. Because if you're screwing all of these people, they're not going to do you any favors. They're not going to vote for you. It's ridiculous. And this is really frost me here on this one, because Voss likes being the mini governor or whatever you want to call him. They also took Tony Evers' power away when he was elected in 18. It just never stops. So, Carl, you got to do your job, and you got to charge these people to begin with for 2020, because they're not going to stop. You're not going to get these votes anyway. So this here is a bridge too far here, though. This is crazy. And Voss is illegitimate, like you say, to begin with. So, and he's corrupt, totally corrupt. That's my rant for today, and it's really frosted me, you know. So, okay, thanks for taking my call.
Excellent call, Paul. As always, excellent call, my friend. This segues, by the way, into another very related issue, which I'm going to lay out there for people who are interested in commenting on it. Annette Ziegler is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In my opinion, she was not legitimately elected Chief Justice. Let me tell you why I think that. Let me tell you what she's up to. Back in April, before the election, the Chief Justice was a woman named Pat Rogensack. Pat Rogensack was the Chief Justice, and along with Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley, voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the case. They were election deniers. Pat Rogensack realized that she could not get reelected having done that. She didn't run for reelection, and Janet Protasiewicz won with over 10% of the vote, or more than 55-45. Now, the other two, Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley, are still on the court, and they're not up for reelection for another couple of years, I think 3 or 4 years. They all got together. This was a quick meeting. You may not know this, in April, right after Protasiewicz won. And they realized that the justices vote for the Supreme Court, the chief judge, for a two-year term. And the two-year term, obviously, Pat Rogensack couldn't continue because she hadn't run again. So they cooked it up in the parking lot. And Pat Rogensack, who was still on the court, even though she didn't run for re-election because it didn't turn over till August 1st, Pat Rogensack, Ziegler, Rebecca Grassl Bradley, and I think they got Brian Hagedorn to go along with them, voted Annette Ziegler in as chief judge for 2 years, till April of 25. That is illegitimate. They knew that Janet Protasiewicz was joining the court on August 1, that she'd won the election. This reminds me very much of Amy Comey Barrett being installed by Mitch McConnell during the lame duck. Remember that? When Trump had lost and some senators voted for her who either lost or didn't run for re-election. Remember that? That's illegitimate. She is illegitimate. And this is an illegitimate chief justice to be voted on and to be orchestrated by someone who didn't run for re-election, was leaving the court in a couple of months, and a new justice was coming on. Now, I've talked to people in Madison, and I said, all right, I'm going to give you a legal opinion. And it's coming from Matt Flynn, graduate of the UW Law School, editor-in-chief of the Law Review, and law clerk to the Judge Thomas Fairchild of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. This is not a casual opinion. If somebody is elected illegitimately, a majority of the justices can say that and vote for a new chief justice. Janet Protasiewicz is on the court now. She and Dalit, Karofsky, and Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley, could simply meet and say Annette Ziegler is no longer the chief justice. She was illegitimately elected. No federal judge will touch that. That is then the law. The bailiffs, the cops, and everybody else in the court will have to obey that. The impression I'm getting from the people, and I don't discount it, these are very, very savvy people, is that that would be seen as some sort of political thing. Why not just wait Ziegler out for two more years? Wait Ziegler out for two more years. then she will not be the Chief Justice and they can install one of the others. But what they did do was very, very smart. The four of them got together and said, we are going to redefine the Chief Justice's position and duties. The Chief Justice can no longer appoint the individual who supervises from a staff position administratively the judiciary in the state and several other things. And they set up a committee to do that. And the committee has two of the majority members, two of the Democrats, and Ziegler. Ziegler came out with a very, very bitter email, attacks in the press. I have a suggestion for Ned Ziegler, and I have a suggestion for Rebecca Grassl Bradley. The handwriting is on the wall. If and when you run for re-election, you are not going to win. People in the state, Republican, Democrat, Independent, don't like a corrupt decision. And saying that Biden didn't win the election, that you would not certify him even when he did, is too far. So you have a couple more years anyway. You might want to consider resigning. But if you don't resign, please stop the bitter emails, because you pulled a fast one along with Pat Rogensack in April. And what the other justices did is not a fast one. It's just a very deliberate action saying, we are not going to permit what are now remaining two justices who didn't vote, who voted not to certify Joe Biden, run the Supreme Court for two more years. Now, what do we do with this? Annette Ziegler is taking this too far. This court director, court administrator job I talked about, the Republicans had put a guy in from Jefferson County who's very right-wing, MAGA guy, and the rest of the justices don't want him. So what they did on this three-person committee they set up, 2-1, they voted to let thank you for your service. Here's a gold watch. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And they appointed someone else. They appointed a woman named Audrey Skorowski. Audrey Skorowski, I know Audrey Skorowski. I know her father, Mike Skorowski, who is one of the great judges in Wisconsin history. He was a chief judge in Milwaukee, and Audrey Skorowski was a judge, and she's terrific. So she is now the court administrator or director, whatever they call it, to administer the judiciary around the state. What did Annette Ziegler do? She posted the position anyway, claiming it's open. For God's sake, you're justices. Annette Ziegler, you are a chief justice only because of the fast one in April. Knock it off. Quit interfering with the judiciary in this state. We are not going to permit fascism to creep in on little cat's feet. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand.
The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level out for around 49 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 77 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 57. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 85. 91 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 59.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And there's one other issue I want to put out that feeds in everything I just said about fascism creeping in on little cat's feet in Wisconsin. It's not just the Voss Janet Protasiewicz threat of impeachment. It's not just Chief Justice Annette Ziegler threatening and attacking the rest of the justices. Let me tell you what's going on with Megan Wolf, the executive director, the head administrator, really, not a voting member of the Wisconsin Election Commission. The Senate convened a hearing yesterday on whether or not they should reappoint, quote, reappoint her, end quote. Her term ended technically on June 30th, almost two months ago. It went to the Wisconsin Election Commission, and by a vote of 3-0, the three Republicans voted to reappoint her. It was a fake. It was fraudulent. It was in bad faith. Because it has to be confirmed by the Senate, and they've already cooked this up in the parking lot. And the Senate had already said, if let everybody know, they're not going to reappoint her because she is a very fair, she's a very, very good administrator, nonpartisan, not a voting member. So the Democrats, the three Democrats, did something very smart. It's a 3-3 Democrat-Republican split. They abstained. They didn't vote. Why did they not vote? They did not vote because the law says she can be either reappointed or not by a 4-vote majority, not by 3 votes. So there's no 4-vote majority. And Josh Call came out with an opinion. I thought it was a good one. And he said it is not ripe for a Senate hearing because there's nothing before the Senate. Under the Fred Pren rule, that case that the Republican majority put in, to keep Dentist Fred. Remember Dentist Fred? Dentist Fred, Dentist Fred. My teeth are glowing in the dark, Dentist Fred. Why? Did you eat a fish from Marathon County? Well, yeah. Or from any county in Wisconsin or Lake Michigan or Green Bay? Because it's forever chemical. Dentist Fred, Dentist Fred. Dentist Fred stayed on for 18 months to make sure that forever chemicals kept getting into our water supply. And everybody in the Republican Party yawns. Everybody who thinks he's a hunter and a fisherman yawn. What, they don't pay attention? They don't read a newspaper? No, apparently not. Well, the Dennis Fred rule applies to Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is in there. Her position technically ended on June 30, as Dennis Fred's did 18 months earlier. But until a replacement is approved by the state Senate, she stays on. And they can't approve it because there is nothing before them to approve because 4 of the board have not taken action. Now, here is some of the testimony. This is great. Some of the testimony before the committee the other day. Lisa Tollefson, the Rock County clerk, quote, without Megan Wolf, she said, we'd be in a world of crazy if Wolf is no longer serves as the state's top election official. We don't know what's going to happen. Strong leadership makes a difference. What the Republicans want to do is have the Senate, quote, remove her, and then they will appoint Gableman. Now, will they actually appoint the Gableoid? They'd be crazy to, because the Gableoid has cost us well over $2 million in a fake fraud claim. sniffing around the state. He's been sued. He's been disciplined by judges. He falsely accused one judge of inappropriately seeing a female lawyer in his chambers. They would be crazy to appoint the Gabeloid, except many of them are like the Gabeloid, Gableman. But they will get a Gableman who is smoother. And here is what their objective. Listen to this very carefully. If they have a crooked administrator, this is why fascism is creeping in on little cat's feet here too. He will just say, students in Madison and in Milwaukee can't vote with their dorm addresses. Or they can't use student IDs or some other ID. And wipe out 4% of the vote in the state, and then the Republican might win. That's what's going on. And then he will say, because one of them already did say this, our objective is to also drive down, besides the student vote, the Black and Latino vote in Milwaukee. Okay? It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. You know who testified? This is unbelievable. Do you know who testified at this hearing? I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. The Gabeloid. They let him in. He was at large. They gave him safe passage. You know, somebody should have said, Gableman, you cost us two. Some people say $3 million, and you lied. And you know what his testimony was? I'm not kidding. The 2020 election was illegitimate, rigged, and stolen. He's still saying this stuff. He showed up. You know who also showed up? And this really, I thought, took a kind of guts would not be the right word for it. There's a guy named Peter Bernegger. I don't know if you remember the name. He's a convicted felon, and he's been investigated by the Capitol Police for stalking conduct against Megan Wolf. And his testimony was Megan Wolf should be put in jail. This is the testimony that the state Senate, the gerrymandered, illegitimate state Senate in this state, listened to yesterday to get rid of Megan Wolf, to put in a smoother Gabeloid, to stop student voting, Black and Latino voting. Do I have to put it any more bluntly? Do I have to put it in ducks and bunnies? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is happening here with the top election official in the state. The top election official in Georgia is Brad Raffensperger. I'm not crazy about the guy. He's a Republican. But they wouldn't dare do that to Brad Raffensperger, even in Georgia, even in the Peach State, Georgia on my mind. They wouldn't do it. But here in Fighting Bob La Follette State, this is going on by Voss. This is going on by Voss. On Monday, a memo was issued by the Wisconsin Legislative Council, and it said 4 votes are needed to present anything to the state Senate. Josh Call issued an opinion. 4 votes are needed to put anything in the state Senate. And they have Gabeloid and Peter Bernegger. I would have arrested Peter Bernegger if he's wanted for stalking conduct. He's not wanted. He's being looked at by the state Capitol Police. Please go in there and say, Bernegger, we want to talk to you. Bernegger went there to say that Megan Wolf should be thrown in jail. And the Gabeloid went in to say the 2020 election was stolen. This is crooked. I'm telling you, this is crooked in Wisconsin. It's crookeder than Georgia. It's crookeder than any southern state you've heard of. We're coming right into the show. Great show. Great show as always. Great caller. Sorry I had to leave some of you on the line. I'll get to you tomorrow. Great show coming up. Devil's Advocate, Diamond Crute, Matt Flynn Direct. Back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry
Reebok.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media.